and AD is before Christ, the marked moment in time, and then AD is Anno Domini. It's the year of the Lord. So today we're going to, and we talked about, you know, grief and how that becomes a marked moment in time in our lives and what all grief can entail. And, you know, it's not very fun things. And anger of the emotions during grief is what tends to take root. And so even if somebody's had a heart loss, they feel anger, and not necessarily angry at a person, but sometimes when you have an unexpected loss or even an expected loss, you get angry with yourself. The I should've, I could've, I would've. And so when I say in grief, when anger comes in, it's not necessarily just from the outside. It's what we deal with internally. And so today I want to add another slash. So last week when I said for me, what I had to do was completely open myself up and let God get into those real dark places, the graveyard of, you know, the headstones and every name and date of the people or the hurts, you know, and I kept those in, and I had to let God get in there and do his work, or it was just going to keep continuing on for me anytime there was a speed bump in the road. And so my next marked moment in time was during that, and because of that process became resurrected hope. And so everything didn't have a dim, grim, angry, all the stuff that comes with anger and grief, the bitterness, the resentment, and I had to get all of that out. But don't get me wrong, that was just one part of my personal journey, my personal process. All in all, it was almost 11 days long. So that was just one moment of it. And, you know, someday I may go into more detail of that. But so today, so we talked last Sunday was what I titled as the deconstruction, that marked moment in time that changes everything for you. And then our AD was after devastation, the emotions that you go through and what that can entail. And then so today we're going to go over the resurrected hope. This is your rebuilding, your construction, but also the enhancement. Not only will God put you back together, he's going to enhance you. You're going to go up a level only if you fully let him in. He's not just sitting up there collecting dust on a shelf that we just want to take down anytime we need to use them, dust them off, use them, and put them right back. Fully means fully, all in. So true forgiveness is godly forgiveness. We discussed how we can say over and over and over with our mouths, I forgive them, I forgive this situation. But until you let God come into the equation and let him take over, which means you have to come to the end of yourself. That is not an easy task. But when you do that, everything changes. It stops everything in its path. Now, that doesn't mean you're instantly healed from everything. But what it does, it's like anything you do,
Gary,
kind of like when you go to work out, the first couple times you go to work out, you're going to be sore. It's going to hurt. But when you keep in that process and you see the progression you're getting, the pain is no longer there. Well, it is the same way with letting God fully in when you're going through these hard times. When you come to the end of yourself, fully let him in. It is so hard the first time. It's like for me, it was a human Megan and a spiritual Megan just duking it out. I mean, if I could have sold tickets to that boxing match, it would have been a doozy. But I knew what I had to do. And so when you know what you have to do, it's kind of like God's just sitting there like, just waiting for you to call him in. Just like what Terry said, that's all he wants. And guess what? When you're going through such a hard time, that is one of the most intimate times you can get with God. And so when it's not a one and done process, right? This is something you have to crucify your flesh all the time. And we're going to talk about why that is not easy. So letting God in, like I said, doesn't heal everything right away. But after that first time, after the second time, after the third time, it starts getting easier and easier. And the more that comes at you, gets a little bit easier and easier to deal with, because you're getting so intimate with God in your most hurt time. You're letting Him in at your most vulnerable time. And that is so precious to God. It really, truly is. True forgiveness is not just about forgiving others. It's about forgiving yourself too. The extremely hard fought battle of becoming completely vulnerable in front of God and allowing Him into the darkest parts of you. The graveyard that we tend to create to bury all of our hurts. He will come in with a shovel and a sledgehammer and knock all of that out. He's going to take the sledgehammer to every gravestone. He is going to take that shovel and He's going to dig up those graves, and He's going to turn that muddy pit into fertile soil with potential. True forgiveness does not mean instant healing, and that this whole process is a one and done process. But God has to be fully involved, or you're just wasting your time. I talked about how we foolishly think that God doesn't know that we have those buried graveyards, kind of the whole out of sight, out of mind thing. And that is our thinking, that we just keep it locked away. That is until the next gut punch. But if we can get rid of the nasty graveyard and move forward in our healing in a better future, not on our own — it doesn't work out very well when we try to do it on our own — but we must only be willing to cooperate with God. That's what a lot of times we don't understand that. All you have to do is take that initial step saying, all right, I'm willing to do this. Let's do it. You know, we take it on ourselves as we have to do it all ourselves, and nowhere in God's word does it say it's all on us. The first part of this process is extremely tough. It is coming to the end of yourself, removing all the walls and masks that we have created to face the world day to day, and becoming the most stripped down, raw versions of ourselves, and allowing God in to change that graveyard into the fertile soil. God knows if you are fully open to Him or if you're still holding something back. We are just fools for thinking otherwise. This only works if you bear everything to Him. When you fully open up to God and let Him into that dark place, this is what's going to happen. What was once broken or shattered will be fully put back together, but even stronger, bolder, and a one-of-a-kind piece of art. There is a reason this process is tough. It is a stripping of your flesh. It is a crucifying of your flesh, your worldly flesh. Think about what happened on the cross. Jesus' flesh being torn off. And that's what part of this process we are to hold so sacred. The excruciating process that led to our redemption. Same way, this is a very tough process, but it will lead to your redemption. Crucifying the flesh is a significant challenge to us because of the deep-seated nature of sin and desire for comfort, self-reliance, and pleasures that often dominate our lives. The process involves a deliberate act of self-denial. It's coming to the end of yourself. It requires a significant change in your mindset and commitment to live in His spiritual guidance. It is difficult to understand for those who have not experienced the transformative power of Christ's death and resurrection. The pain and suffering associated with this process are not just physical, it is spiritual too. Because when we are faced with the conflict of our old nature and self-reliance and becoming a new creation formed in us through our faith in God. Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Meaning that crucifying the flesh is not something done to a believer. It is done by the believer. Mark 14:38, it explains this must be done because our flesh is weak. Weakness leads to temptation. Temptation leads to sin, and that's producing the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things do not inherit the kingdom of God. How important is it to hang on to that anger now? Galatians 2:20. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. So you got it? Yes. And then I go to Romans 6:6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. What pleases the Lord in our lives is not work, but fruit that the Spirit alone can produce. We can avoid works of the flesh by staying continually submitted to the Holy Spirit and allowing him to direct every aspect of our life. Whether that a couple times a minute, a few times a day, several times a week, it's a continual process. Nothing with God in the process of our lives here on earth and our spiritual growth is a one and done process. We face these things because of what occurred in the Garden of Eden. From the initial crunch of the forbidden fruit, the echo of that crunch reverberates through time still to this day. Beginning in the garden, Adam and Eve only knew perfection. It is hard today to even fathom what that perfection was. Basically, Adam and Eve had no other options to contend with besides the absolute perfection God created and the absolute love of God. They didn't know anything else. There were no feelings of being ashamed, being exposed, being vulnerable, being sorry, resentment, grief, anger, disappointment, loss. You see where I'm going here? All the ick. Genesis 2:25. Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. That was until the crunch. Genesis 3:6-7. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Trav and I talked about this on the way to church this morning. It is, yeah, where's your fig leaf? But in that moment, once they took that crunch, I just kind of said, like, dilated pupils, right? You could just see that black opening up. And in one moment, one instant moment, they felt all the ugliness and the sin. We have such a hard time dealing with it in increments. Could you imagine what they went through in that moment to feel all the ugly all at once? Yeah, I know that really kind of, you know, oh, has opened up my eyes, the wrong term to use right now. I don't want to. Okay. And at that moment, when they heard the sound of our Father, they hid from him in shame and guilt. It's Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool afternoon breeze of the day. And so the man and his wife hid and kept themselves hidden from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Never had they had to do that. They didn't even realize what hiding was. The moment that they felt what we refer to, that was the moment they felt what we refer to as soul crushed. All the bad, all the ugly and terrible feelings, and the full, and they were full of the blame game starting at that point. Fingers pointing fingers. Husband and wife going against each other. That's Genesis 3, 9 through 13. But the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." I love this part. God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten fruit from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is it that you have done?" And in that moment, she started blaming the serpent. So do you see where he starts pointing his finger at her? She starts pointing it somewhere else. Just that one bite changed all of that. That was their marked moment in time where they didn't just feel broken or shattered, but they felt like dust. Just like in that marked moment in time, what we can feel like, that the world around us has crushed us beyond shattered, but to dust. How do you put yourself back together? Where do you even start? Think of it like a piece of crystal, like a crystal glass breaking. It doesn't break off in a couple chunks. It shatters in tiny pieces. There's no glue in that back together. How do you fix that? You know, because that's what I have on here. You can't fix dust, right? But I know a fella who can. This is what we tend to forget when we are facing such deep, painful times. We forget what God did with dust. He created man from dust. Then he took what he formed from dust, used a broken bone, and created a woman. He created and healed from dust and broken, which in those deep, hurtful times, that's what you feel. What Jesus did with dust, he spat on the dust, creating mud, wiped it across the born blind man's eyes, told him where to go wash it off. That blind man did just as he was asked, and he walked home with full sight. God creates and heals from dust. God doesn't want your explanation. He doesn't want your excuses, your assumptions, your blames, your assessments. He doesn't want your reason. He just wants you. He wants you to fully let him in. And we have full access to that. But you got to be the one to step out and do it. Hurt and disappointments are not a reason to hide from him. They are the very reason you should run to him and let him in. But the longer you fight, the more you delay your true healing. Do not defer. God is hope. God is healing. God is love. God is grace, and God is forgiveness. Proverbs 13:12 tells us, "Hope deferred makes a heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." Have you ever feared dealing with your own covered up places so much so, as I call it, turning the tables or shedding the limelight, that you have attempted to expose others instead? How's that worked out for you? Whom have you given so much power to that their words affect you so deeply that you have become afraid to show what God perfectly created, your vulnerable self? How do those circumstances of the world go against the reality of how deeply you were loved by God? It's because we give circumstances power. We let them start controlling, and that gives them power. To keep that power where it needs to be within yourself, that's when you give it to God. But if you try to handle everything on your own instead of giving it to God, you are giving your circumstances power. Remember, while God converts with truth, the enemy perverts the truth. God wants to transform us, but Satan wants to keep us paralyzed and stuck in a rut. We must trade our live-up-to mentality for a show-up mentality, which means we need to show up for God, to let Him in, to show when we are there, to show when we want to cooperate with Him. In this, to get to a place of self-forgiveness, to be able to forgive others. It will bring you to a place of self-compassion so that you will be able to truly give deep compassion. God isn't picking on you. He is picking you personally to live out just one of His greatest promises. You must walk through the low places of this life, of all these hard processes, which He will fully equip you for, before you can be perfectly equipped to live out the promise. This process isn't cruel. It isn't a cruel way to keep you from the promise. It is the exact preparation you'll need to handle the promise. God is far more interested in you being prepared than you being comfortable. 1 Peter 5:10. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. God does not want us to rally up more of our own strength. He wants us to rely solely on His strength. If we walk around thinking that God won't give us more than we can handle, you are setting yourself up to be suspicious of God. It is our choice, the free will He given us, whether you stay stuck in your hurt or you get renewed in your heart. 2 Corinthians 1:8 through 9. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who can raise the dead. So right there, it's telling you, you're going to get hard pressed. This world does that. God's not the one sitting there hard pressing you. But He will give you and equip you with everything you have to do to get through that moment. You may have some bumps and bruises, but you're not crushed. You're not dead. You're here. You're stronger. You're more spiritual. And it says right there, quit relying on yourself. Rely on the man who can raise the dead. Restoration is possible. A restoration is impossible on our own due to our own human limitations. But it is always possible with a limitless God. And here's some good news. God will use suffering to shape us, mold us, and make us better and better prepared for the very purpose He created us. Your deepest desperation, He will turn into your greatest revelation. Sometimes hardships happen, obviously, but not necessarily because what you have done. It's because of something He is doing. When you endure hardship or suffering and you cooperate with God, you will be a display of blessings due to the work of when you finally let God in to you. You are going to be a display of blessings to others. They're going to look at you, I want that. I want that. Well, there's only one way to get all of that. When we are afflicted, we are being made more effective. In the end, not only will your suffering produce perseverance and endurance for our earthly race, but it brings forth hope not only to you, but forth to others. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured on the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God on the throne. That's what awaits us. Everything here is just temporary. Why do we get so sucked into all of it? Get to the mindset, I've got God. Get over it. Move on. Work on your purpose. Work on yourself. And get ready to go sit at the right hand of God. Because you ain't going to remember what Joe Schmo said, what boyfriend broke up with you, what girlfriend broke your heart. You ain't going to be remembering any of that. So why spend so much time in it now? That's not your purpose. Colossians 1:11, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you will not give up when trouble comes, but you will be patient. That is something I've got to keep working on. Okay. Free will means it is up to you. What path you decide to take, the path that is long and an unending road of bitterness and loneliness, the path that will keep you in hurt and keep you hurting your loved ones, that will also make you like a toxic gas that chokes the life out of those around you instead of getting those life-building relationships, or the path that may be real tough just for a moment, but it lifts the heaviness you carry. Just like Isaiah 61:3 says, from beauty to ashes, joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you give it all up, every time you give something up, he's going to give you better and take away the bad. I chose path two. That was my resurrected hope. My hope renewed, not hope deferred again because of my choices and me wanting to be the fixer. It does not mean that everything is perfect right now, but I know it will be. And I pray that you do too. I pray that you take this journey. Even if you don't feel a heaviness right now, it's been there. And if you didn't work it out with God, it's going to rise up again. And it's just going to cause hurt. It's not doing you any good. You're digging through the mud for a prize you ain't going to find. So I have all the books, the study tools, the videos. And it is a very spiritual and Christian-led journey. And if that's something you decide to do, reach out and I will give you all the information on it I have. And I promise you, once that heaviness is gone, the freedom you feel is amazing, amazing. And so I really hope you guys experience that. Okay, that's all.